I'm John Batchelor, the Scala Report, with Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. The question at hand is, back to the office, when? The question at hand is supply chain. When is it to be solved? The question at hand is the unknowns of the variant said to be part of the discovery out of South Africa, but it's unclear. The information is very unclear. Chris, a very good day to you. I have headlines from the Washington Post about the Biden administration's response to what we know so far of Omicron. We are pulling out all the stops, reads the headlines. White House details strategies to combat Delta Omicron variants. Subhead, Biden to promise at-home test kits for no cost, more access to booster shots, stricter testing of travelers coming to U.S. This is my measure of where we are. I spoke with Gregory Zuckerman, who's the author of A Shot to Save the World and the lead investigator at the Wall Street Journal, about Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca. He's been reporting on it for more than a year. And what I learned from Gregory is that the vaccine makers are confident they can deal with the mutations that so far we understand are the profile of Omicron. However, they use the number 100 days to deal with those mutations. 100 days if and when we need a new vaccine, entirely new vaccine, or perhaps a reworking of the vaccine we have now. This calls into question these plans to go back to the office in January or in winter 2022. What do you hear about going back to the office? Has there been any sea change in the planning? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. In the last 72 to 96 hours, I think you're seeing the fear of uncertainty start to raise its head again. And we're seeing more large customers and large employers backing off or easing back on demands towards employees to come back into the office in the big cities. So it now may be safe to say that because of the uncertainty, and if there is a 100-day window for production of this new vaccine, that the first quarter may now be in jeopardy for 2022 and any kind of a return to normalcy in the work environment.
We do have protocols, masking, social distancing, vaccines, and care when you travel internationally now. I have not read yet any national travel plans that are starkly different from what we had before. However, it does also introduce the possibility that these protocols will be accelerated. I note the White House's attention to at-home testing. The reason I mention that is that there are a great number of vulnerable people. I'm one of them. And we're triply vaccinated, but for the first time in a year and a half, Chris, I am cautious about where I go and how I go there. I'm suspecting that my caution is based on the fact that I don't have enough good information. Nobody's misleading me. There's just an unknown portion of the information about Omicron that I have about Delta, that I had about Alpha, that I had during the first months of the vaccine. Now, you are not in a vulnerable group. How is it for you? Have you had second thoughts about traveling these last days?
So I travel pretty consistently and travel internationally. I think what I see personally and others within the business travel community is that travel can be a necessary evil, but the headaches associated with it, whether that be testing before departure, testing before return, the paperwork, the red tape, the costs. You don't have to eliminate travel, but you can make it so burdensome that you're signaling to the population that that's a problem. But I think going back to your point of the lack of information, I don't think that the virus is any different than the way that you would characterize war. As you said on the program many, many times before, the first three reports are typically wrong, and it takes a while for the truth to come out or to figure out what is real. I think we're still struggling in that early knowledge or lack of knowledge state of this new variant to understand what are the realities. And as you've seen on Wall Street, as you see within business, business can plan, and American business is very, very dynamic. You can plan for any scenario, but we just don't yet have enough information to plan for.
Supply chains. I can't draw a direct correlation between Omicron and supply chains, except for the fact that we've been given various explanations about why demand is why. And where, California is where, although I had a conversation with Vancouver several days past, they also have a line of container ships coming into British Columbia, in addition to unusual weather. However, the supply chain right now is said to be solved at such and such a date. Does that date exist to your measure?
I don't think that date exists within 2022. The supply chain problems are not solved. They continue to move. The number of ships parked off the coast of LA has reduced slightly simply because they're putting ships further away from the coast and not counting them in the totals. So we're playing a little bit of a numbers game, but the supply chain constraint has not stopped. The other big challenges now that we're seeing domestically on rail transit and domestically on truck transit, you're seeing employee shortages there that are at an absolute critical pace now, where trains for transit are being delayed. The shortage of over-the-road truckers is becoming more and more acute. So it's not getting better, and there's no immediate sign of that clearing up anytime soon.
The question of the business of recovery, the one we've been watching for many months now, the Federal Reserve has now moved its position from a transitory inflation to inflation is here, we're going to start to, and then there are various careful words about how they're going to move from loose money to more expensive money into the future. However, this puzzle about Omicron, do you expect this to be a new factor when it comes to how the Federal Reserve can move? Because tighter money in an economy that's shutting down again or thinks it needs to shut down isn't a formula for prosperity.
I think it really depends on what the economic impact of Omicron is going to be, and it's still very difficult to say. Without trying to make it an inappropriate analogy, easy money to bankers is like heroin. Very good high, but very difficult to get off. So being able to state that we're going to tighten is great, but if we go through another round of business shutdowns, if we go through another round of an economic constriction, there'll be immense political pressure to keep up that easy money policy, and it'll be very difficult to get off of that easy money high.
Employment. We have really good numbers about the jobs. We have really good numbers about reducing the first-time unemployment claims. We have very good numbers even about people returning to work and wage demands from unions, all that activity. Have you heard that that's changed in any fashion with Omicron, or is it too early, Chris?
It's still very early, but I would also question some of the jobs numbers. The jobs numbers are good for those in the workforce, but continue to look at those who are not participating in the workforce. We're losing generations at the end of career and early in career who are not in the workforce that need to be in the workforce to solve some of these problems. So I think some of those numbers are slightly false indicators when you look at the reality of the situation.
Again, from the Washington Post report, while some of the measures recommended by the Biden administration are new, notably a plan to launch a, quote, family mobile vaccination clinics where all eligible members of a family can simultaneously get first shots or boosters, others build on existing tactics, such as President Biden's plan urging businesses to mandate vaccination or testing requirements for their employees. Mandate. That is a word that has come to be associated with what went wrong in the first year of the pandemic, mandating, as opposed to people making their own choices. That idea of mandating businesses to police their employees. At this point, do you hear that this is a difficulty? Are there troubles about keeping employees or getting them back because they have or have not been vaccinated?
I think it's just stoking the fears of uncertainty in those employees and saying, well, wait a minute, if I've been double vaxxed or triple vaxxed, why do I need to test again every day or every other day? I think as you've seen now in the courts starting to push back on employer mandates from the administration, the judicial branch is starting to say, wait a minute, there has to be some balance here and you can't simply do this. But I think the other thing to look at as it would apply to travel and leisure and business travel, is you're not yet at a point of requiring tests prior to going on domestic flights, but you're in the same zip code. And I cannot think that if the administration's not pushing for at-home testing, that we're more than one or two steps away from saying for future, you're going to have to be tested for domestic travel as well.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.